Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 5th of September, recording at 9:43 p.m. British Summer Time. I'm going to start this evening by talking about the Stratfor.com report on the New Orleans damage following Hurricane Katrina. It's a report written by, say, George Friedman for Stratfor.com. That is a good research organization. Their articles are usually very well researched and very well written, and this appears to be no exception. And if it's correct, if George Friedman is right, then I think most of us perhaps underestimated the risks to the global economy from this event. Now, I have to add, a rider in here at this stage to say that in my job, I am a recipient of a lot of very interesting reports coming in from all over the world. They're much appreciated. They certainly increase my knowledge. Very often they will have conflicting views from each other, and that's fine. I like to see that. I like to see both sides of the argument overall, provided it's an intelligently written argument, as most of them are. But I do have to be a little bit careful, because I can cite three examples. I've had formidable reports over the last 18 months telling me about the imminent Chinese hard landing, some stating it as if it wasn't just a possibility or a risk, but that it was already well underway. And of course, it hasn't happened yet. And then, I think it was earlier in the year, I started to receive a number of reports from very reputable sources saying that a major contraction in global liquidity was underway, and there was graphic evidence of this, usually involving proprietary indicators. Well, we haven't seen that contraction in global liquidity, at least judging from the performance that we've seen in various asset markets. And then, last but not least, more recently, I've seen several reports talking about the imminent collapse in the price of oil. Well, I'd been seeing those since about $40 on upwards to today's current levels. So I just mention all these on the basis that sometimes there are very, very, very good authors, very good writers, researchers, but they get carried away, and which of us hasn't done that from time to time? So getting back to George Friedman and the Stratfor.com article, I think most of us, in looking at the appalling consequences of the Katrina hurricane, were really focused mainly, first on the human tragedy, then the damage to real estate, and obviously the oil markets, oil and gas markets responded very quickly, although the oil move has been partially retraced. And I guess probably the biggest move that I noticed was natural gas, which jumped 20% and has held on to most of those gains, or at least it had through Friday in the United States. But my point in all this is that if George Friedman is largely right, then I think most of the world has not really appreciated the global economic implications of the New Orleans disaster. And not so much because of the oil and gas situation, although that's serious enough, but because of New Orleans' role as the largest U.S. port and all the shipping activity that takes place there, particularly regarding U.S. grains. So that's a long way of saying we need to be careful in here, and I want to watch the charts very closely, even more closely than usual. Now, what's going on here today? We've got the U.S. markets closed for the Labor Day holiday, but the Asian stock markets were generally fairly steady, and the European stock markets were all quietly steady in here. Well, a couple of good gains. DAX up 1.5%. That was about the best move overall, I think, led by the autos, or with Volkswagen very much to the forefront. The European indices had seen a loss of momentum, and at this stage, though, there is nothing to suggest that it's more than just a consolidation. But that said, this rally is long in the tooth, at least as far as Wall Street is concerned, against that background of a secular bear market, which I've long described as a generational long process of mean reversion in terms of valuations, in which PE ratios PE ratios contract, and yields actually rise. Now, back in that secular bear market that ran roughly from 1967 into 1981 on Wall Street, and we did see a number of bull market rallies getting up to that ceiling on the Dow Jones Industrial Average at about 1,025. And some of those lasted, a couple of those, I believe, lasted the better part of 3 years. And we have seen an awfully good rally, whether you take it from the March 2003 low, as I do, or go all the way back to what is statistically the low for the Wall Street bear market to date, which is in October 2002. Either way you look at it, this rally for secular bear market rallies, and I appreciate that not everybody will agree with my hypothesis that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, but that is what has always following major bubbles that burst in the past. So again, you know, as I've emphasized here, if Wall Street starts to erode the reaction lows that we saw, a week or so ago, that would be worrying. But meanwhile, other markets and investors tend to fret from time to time. It's the old wall of worry department. I'm not changing any of my portfolio positions at the moment, but I do want to remain vigilant. And having mentioned that Wall Street secular bear market, I think if you've heard the Friday audios, I've also said that there are a number of other stock markets around that are in secular bull markets, and not least those Asian markets overall and the resources markets. Okay. Now, moving on to bonds, not much activity there. We've seen an awfully good rally, extended a little bit here in terms of the bunds. These markets have responded very strongly to events in New Orleans. The rallies look a little bit overcooked to me, but I'm a bigger bear in terms of the long-term outlook for government bonds than most people, as you're probably well aware. Currencies, this is extremely interesting, and I think that the key change in terms of overall perceptions as far as the US dollar is concerned is that most people were extrapolating short-term interest rate hikes by the Fed up into a range, well, the lower end of the forecasts, 4% before the end of the year, and some people were forecasting, quite a few people were forecasting a move in 2006, perhaps up to 5% and possibly even a little higher for the federal funds rate. Well, my view is that short-term rates will be going up from cycle to cycle, that they will hit new highs on the moves higher within these cycles, and that the Fed won't be able to lower quite so much as it had done previously when it's in the next when it instigates the next cycle of lower rates. But I agree with the people who are looking at the dollar and saying, following Katrina, these rates are not going to go up as much as we had previously thought. Therefore, the rising interest rates factor is no longer a bull prop for the dollar. It's already in the market, and people are realizing that there are some currencies around with good fundamentals, such as the Canadian dollar and the New Zealand dollar, that have higher interest rates, and will continue to have higher interest rates than the greenback. So that dollar chart looks technically weak to me. And if that does continue to move lower, maybe we get a little bit of ranging on the dollar index near the 85 level, but I certainly think it's heading lower. Eventually work its way back down and retest the lows. And that creates quite a strong tailwind for these precious metals. And gold, steady in here today at 445.35. The other precious metals were closed here today due to Wall Street's holiday, due to the US holiday rather. But that sector, I'm still quite bullish, holding on to my silver position, my platinum position, and my gold position. The silver is the one that's, I beg your pardon, the platinum's the one that's done the best here recently. But certainly a weaker dollar, and given the patterns that we're seeing in platinum and gold at least, I expect further moves on the upside. And silver, as you have seen over the years, tends to perform like a high beta version of gold. So if we get gold breaking up and holding above the $450 level, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see it break out of on the upside from its recent consolidation ranges against other reserve currencies such as the euro, the Swiss franc, sterling, and the Japanese yen, then we could get quite a strong move, and I would expect silver to improve on its relative performance overall. And I think that's pretty much it. So I'll just wrap this one up and say all the best.